Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com with code ODYSSEY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dan, kind of an amazing outcome. Ben Johnson, the Bears end up striking quickly and getting the top guy on the market, really. Just not something you might have expected.
Yeah, no big deal, right? I mean, absolutely a massive move for the Chicago Bears on Monday. And, you know, obviously, if Bears fans were worried about the anxiety this week, they should send Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels a nice thank you note for accelerating this process and getting them to where they needed to get to, which is an introductory press conference today with Ben Johnson at House Hall. So it'd be fun to kind of hear from him for the first time, to hear him lay out the vision and probably more immediately tell us why he moved so quickly and why he was so attracted to this job.
How did we get from predicting that Ben Johnson would be seeking a job that did not have the front office with the general manager that was in his way, to him arriving at House Hall and talking about working together and Ryan Pohl still being there with 1 year left on his deal?
Yeah, I mean, clearly in the interviews and the connections that they made, there was a connection made and that there was a vision that was shared. And now those two guys will go forward trying to recalibrate where they want to take this football team. And today, I think, David, will be a good opportunity to learn kind of about how they got to where they got to so quickly. Remember, Ben Johnson didn't come in for an in-person interview. No one on that 17 candidate known interview list came in for an in-person interview. And so there was clearly, some urgency on both sides to make something happen. They met where they needed to meet, and now they're going to meet downstairs for the first time at House Hall. You guys are familiar. We usually do these in the Muggs Hallis Auditorium. We're downstairs at the PNC Center today for a new type of production at House Hall.
Yeah, that's where they do the draft, right? And that's where they do the
Piccolo Awards, really. Yeah. No, the drafts are upstairs again now. And it'll be interesting to see what they have in mind down there. And obviously, we're all eager to hear from Ben for the first time and kind of get a feel for who he is.
I'm curious. I was told over the weekend by someone with knowledge of the league that the idea of Ryan Poles as GM was a real hindrance to this process, that it wasn't going to work out, that he had a guy that he wanted. It's the guy that was hired by the Jets, as it turned out. And the thinking was that he may end up, the two of them may end up together in Las Vegas. And that was like Saturday, maybe. And then all of a sudden there's word that, he's going to interview, and then they get eliminated and then he's hired. It was whirlwind. And you look at that and you think, how did having his own personnel guy to being thrilled that Poles is there? I mean, that's a big victory for Ryan Poles, no doubt about it.
It's a big victory for Ryan Poles for certain. And it's also a big victory for Kevin Warren and his push to push this organization outside of its comfort zone. Because I've described it, Mully, as sort of settle and shrug muscle memory that they have at Hallis Hall, where it's like, oh, well, that didn't work out. We'll move on. We've got 16 other candidates. Great, you know, and it doesn't work out. And I think Kevin Warren puts a little extra fire in that building to say, no, like, this was our top guy. We're going to do everything humanly possible to make this happen. I'm going to be very interested to learn, whether it's today, tomorrow, the next couple of weeks, about how Ben Johnson wrapped his brains around all these things and how serious the interest was in Vegas and what the Bears maybe did to turn his head back toward Hallis Hall and say, hey, look, don't leave. Like, we know you have an attraction to this job. You know you have an attraction to this job. Let's figure out what's going to make this work. And so that's going to be interesting, because this is the chatter that you said you heard over the weekend. I heard similar chatter, and there was significant worry that the Bears were going to be in danger of missing out. As it turns out, they were in no danger or not enough danger to change the outcome. And here now you have Ben Johnson, the hottest candidate in this cycle, which we've said, you know, for 2 months now as your head coach of the Chicago Bears.
But how likely is it, Dan, that we all missed the point here when we talk about concepts and intrigue and drama in the front office and dysfunction from the ownership and the organization, that when you're a coach, it's still all about the players. And when you have a quarterback that is in place after an up and down rookie season, that was the biggest attraction, that Caleb Williams outweighed everything else about the Chicago Bears and the challenges that come inherently with that organization. And he's here because of number 18.
Well, I'll spin it back on you a little bit and say that I don't think the point was missed here. I think the point was understood, and it was like, don't allow yourself to settle when you have all these other things to sell, including number 18, right? Like, so don't say, oh, well, you know, we might get the third or fourth best candidate on the market, despite having all of these things in place, draft capital, salary cap space, the quarterback, make sure you get it across the finish line. And the Bears did. There's no question that from the outset, from the day Matt Eberflus was fired on the Friday of Thanksgiving weekend, that everyone in the league knew that Caleb Williams was going to be an attractive selling point for the Chicago Bears. For a guy like Ben Johnson, offensive wizard, mastermind, guy who's proven himself also as a play caller over 3 years, the intrigue and the appeal of that was always going to be there. Clearly, that is where he wanted to make his biggest career leap at. And now it's up to him to kind of put that puzzle together in a way where they get the best results out of both of them, out of Ben and out of Caleb. And, oh, by the way, you're going to have to figure out how to refurbish the offensive line, which is something that we have made a point on for 3 years now. Like, get the offensive line fixed, and then let's see what the play caller and the quarterback can do together.
And to that end, there is a rumor that Hank Fraley could come here as the offensive coordinator. He was the O-line coach in Detroit.
Yeah.
I know he's been out in Seattle. He's on his second interview for their offensive coordinator job. What kind of a coup would it be to bring someone of that quality in here?
Well, look, and I was told as early as mid-December that was a guy that Ben really would love to have on his staff if he can make it happen. Obviously, to do so, you're going to have to give him some sort of coordinator role, probably the OC role, as you mentioned. You will not be calling plays under Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson will be the guy with the play sheet and calling those plays. And so if they're able to get Hank Fraley here and put him in a role where he can have some say in the offensive line, where he can have some say in shaping how this offense of identity comes together, it will be a big deal for Ben Johnson. It will be one of those first steps toward getting him someone on his staff that he's very familiar with, very comfortable with, and can build the momentum there. You guys know as well as I do that like, there tends to be a big exhale after the introductory press conference for a head coach, and yet there's so much heavy lifting inside the building to assemble a winning coaching staff, and that's the next chore for Ben Johnson. So if he was able to get Hank Fraley to come along, I think it would be a great victory for Ben and the Bears.
So, Dan, you know the team as well as anybody. When you look at the roster and you understand what just happened, how far away are the Bears from being the team that we thought they could be in August, the team that would be kind of flirting with respectability, maybe sniffing around a playoff spot, and being a team that could be respectable and credible come December and not just looking ahead to the next season?
Yeah, I mean, show me the roster when we check into training camp. Let's see what they do through free agency in the draft. Let's see who Ben deems is worth keeping on this roster. And there may be some casualties of guys that don't fit the vision of either the offensive overseer or the defensive coordinator. And you're going to have to do some reshuffling there. Look, like, we know the Bears were set up to be competitive in 2024, and it all fell apart way too rapidly and way too dramatically. And so now you've just got to find some functionality in how you get this thing off the ground. This is the first time Ben Johnson's ever been the head coach of anything. And so he's going to have to learn, what does it take, right? Like, to get the plane away from the gate and onto the runway and then ready for takeoff. And so that's going to be a process here. It starts here in the next couple of weeks with the staff. Then obviously we go into the roster replenishment cycle of March and April, and we'll see what kind of strides they're able to make. I do think it is worth noting that the Detroit Lions are suddenly in scramble mode, right? Like, you may lose both coordinators, and those coordinators may pluck a handful of assistants from your building. So Dan Campbell is going to have some heavy lifting to try to keep that program, which is currently the one that took the North and is trying not to give it back, on track, right? Like, the Lions are going to have some work to do to make sure that they don't lose all the momentum that they've built over the last 2.5 seasons.
When you think about the kind of team building aspect of it, Dan, I'm just curious, retaining the general manager, you know, he has, you know, a personal connection to a lot of different guys. Like, he selected these players. He brought them in. I mean, that would indicate less turnover than normal, even with a coach that's more powerful and has more money and has more. It'll be interesting to see the level of roster turnover, given what different coaches want from their guys and given what the general manager has personally invested in the guys that are here.
Yeah, well, and it can occasionally get tricky in trying to unify a vision. You know, it can occasionally get to a point where you don't see eye to eye with what you need at a specific position or a specific position group. And you're going to have to work through those bumps in the road and figure out, you know, how do we resolve these things? How do we compromise in certain situations to build the type of football team that we think can win on a regular basis? And so that's a process here now that Ryan and Ben, who I don't really think had much of a prior relationship before, you know, New Year's Eve, are going to have to put together. You know, like, they're going to have to build their relationship together and figure out what are the wrinkles that we need to smooth through. And that's not always easy. And that's part of this process that the Bears will have to lean into here as they go over the next couple months.
So today, 11 o'clock, Ben Johnson will meet the media. He'll have his first introductory press conference. What do you expect to hear? And as grounded as you continue to be, how would you advise people to not get carried away with another coach winning a press conference?
Well, look, like, I never get carried away with the end results of a press conference. There are no columns in the win-loss standings for how you did on your first day of the job at a podium. But I am going to be looking today to see what Ben Johnson's presence is like. I want to kind of get a feel for his communication methods and his communication effectiveness. I want to see his personality. You want to feel some charisma. You want to feel what I call and get ribbed on in the media room a lot for, the juice. Like, what kind of juice does he bring into a room, and how is that going to translate into a locker room, into an auditorium when you're holding the team meeting, into a position group room? And so you want to get that first impression of who Ben Johnson is as a guy in front of the room, right? And what does it feel like to be in there with him? I think that's going to be a big deal today. And then we can interpret it for the next 5 months until they check into training camp. But those things are important. And I do want to hear about his vision for this football team, but also how he went from walking into Ford Field for a home playoff game on Saturday afternoon to agreeing to a deal to become the Bears coach, you know, about 40 hours later on Monday. That's a whirlwind timeline. And I'd like to hear a little bit of the insight on how that all happened.
As I keep telling David, Nick Sirianni once had an introductory news conference. It doesn't losing that thing as badly as he did didn't stop him from working out as a coach. He's still alive, for God's sake, and he's been to a Super Bowl.
And he might be going back to another one, right? Like, they're favored at home this weekend to go back to another one. So look, like, yeah, you can't get carried away with the conclusions you draw today, but it is important to, again, like, I think just feel the room and have a sense for, okay, is this going to translate? I think even going back 3 years ago, that there was a little bit of hesitation in this city and probably on this station about Matt Eberflus. And it was like, okay, you know, that was kind of the feeling you left the building with that day, was, all right, I guess this guy's in charge now. And you don't want to feel that today, right? You want to feel like the hottest candidate in this hiring cycle is hot for a reason. And part of that reason is because he can stand up there and make you believe in what he's selling.
Quickly, Dan, before I let you go, how surprised are you by the reports that Ben Johnson will be earning $13 million a year?
Surprised in what regard?
that the Bears were the Bears ones paying that $13 million a year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm not as surprised as many because, like I say, like I know when Kevin got in that building 2 years ago, there was a sense that, like, look, like there are ways of business and ways of doing things around here that need to change. And I sensed going into this coaching search that that was going to be one of them, that they weren't going to lose out because they suddenly got stubborn or practical or prudent on that front. And so not overly shocked at all. I think they had to go meet Ben Johnson where he was, and they went ahead and met him where he was.
Yeah, it's you know, again, if they can put together the dream staff they're talking about, that's going to be a lot of money too. There's a lot of VPs up there, and there'll be a lot more big salaries also if they manage to get some of the people they're talking about. Great stuff. Thanks, Dan.
All right, guys, enjoy the day.
Thanks, Dan.
That is Dan Wiederer.